A video version of this podcast is available at AboundingJoy.com and also on our YouTube pages. Well, hey guys, thanks for joining me in another one of our Veritas 2020 videos. I'm posting this video mainly with new Christians in mind, but I think it could also be valuable to some of you who may have been Christians for many years. So if you started watching this and you say, well, I'm not a new Christian, watch on, don't give up. I think you may have find some helpful things here. You may have noticed that I recently posted a video that I called Examine Yourselves. Do you remember that one? That video was designed to help people who are not Christians to know what it means to be a follower of Christ and hopefully to become a follower of Christ, pointing out that it's really not complicated, but it's something that people get deceived about. It was also designed to help people who are already Christians but are plagued with doubts. That may fit you too if you haven't watched it yet. A lot of us at one time or other struggle with doubts about our salvation, and that video was designed to help settle some of those doubts. But after I thought about it, I decided it would probably be good to post a second video, kind of a follow-up video, this one we're doing right now, for anybody that might maybe have begun to trust Christ, maybe as a result of the Examine Yourself video. But in any case, if you've only recently begun to trust Christ, this video is definitely for you. I've got you in mind. It's a kind of what's next kind of video. And I realize it might really be true that you may have begun to trust Christ a long time ago, but for whatever reason, you haven't yet begun to really grow stronger in Christ. We've got an enemy, and he'd love to keep us from growing if he can. He'd love to keep us from even trusting Christ, but once we've trusted Christ, he'd love to keep us from growing. And that may have happened to you for a while. Well, this video will help you, I think, if you'll just stay with it and watch it all the way through here. God wants us to grow spiritually in Christ. It's part of what it means to be a Christian, guys. Do you remember the passage we looked at earlier in John chapter 3? And we find that very wonderful and famous verse, John 3:16, which you could probably quote to me. But the context of John chapter 3, if you remember, is Jesus talking with a man named Nicodemus about what it means to come into the kingdom of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a follower of Christ. And Jesus made it very clear to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he points out, there's such a thing as a physical birth. We're all born physically, but we also have to be born spiritually. We have to have a spiritual birth. Well, what happens to babies when they're born? They immediately start to grow, right? That's what's supposed to happen to all babies. It's what's supposed to happen to spiritual babies too. If for some reason a baby were to be born into your family and for some reason it was not growing physically, you'd realize pretty quickly, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We got to take that baby to the doctor. We got to figure out what's going on here, solve this problem, right? Well, in the same way, we need to realize that when people are born into the kingdom of God and say they're trusting Jesus, that means they should start growing in Christ. And if they don't grow, something is wrong. And sometimes I'm afraid we've led people to think that that doesn't matter. It really does matter. It's not okay to stay a baby. I'm not sure it's possible. If you're really born into Christ, if you're really born again, there's something in you that gets hungry. You know what I'm saying? Just like a baby. Peter wrote this in his first letter. He said, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. He's talking about the Word of God, that by it you may grow up into salvation. We're supposed to grow in Christ. In his second letter, Peter wrote this, grow. See the word there? Grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be growing to be more and more like Jesus. Paul wrote this to the Ephesians, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Pretty clear, huh? God wants all of us to keep growing in a spiritual sense. Throughout our life, all the way through, you know, we're still growing. Even as old folks like me, we're still growing. We're becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Now, how? That's the question. That's why I'm making this video. How? How do we do that? I just like to give you a few practical tips to help you get started in this process of becoming strong in Christ. And if you'll take me seriously, guys, you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. In that same letter to the Ephesians, Paul also wrote this: be strong in the Lord. That implies growth, right? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. God wants to make you strong. Now, in the context of that verse, Ephesians chapter 6, the Holy Spirit was warning us, through the Apostle Paul, of course, that while we are on this earth as followers of Christ, we are engaged in a massive spiritual war. And it is critically important that we learn to be strong, not in ourselves. We can't be strong in ourselves. We're weak. But in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's strong. And He's in us. But we have lessons to learn. We have to learn how to do this. One of the saddest things, I think, that can happen to Christians is that they're not taught to be self-disciplined. And they don't grow very strong in Christ. They stay very weak, spiritually speaking. So they're susceptible to being easily deceived. Very sad. They lack godly discernment. They lack godly wisdom that comes from growing strong in Christ. It's a terrible, terrible thing, and it happens way too often. And unfortunately, we're living in a time when even in many of our schools, kids are not learning to be self-disciplined. A long time ago, almost all the kids who went to any school, public or private, was taught very early, you've got to be self-disciplined. And that means you've got to learn to memorize stuff. Guys, you've got to discipline your brain. You've got to memorize a lot of stuff, and you memorize things all the time. God wants us to learn to memorize things. He wants us to be disciplined. But it's really important to Him that His kids, that's us. Now I'm talking about you and me. God wants His kids to have this very important character quality that we sometimes call self-control or self-discipline. It's critical, guys, if you're going to grow stronger in Christ. Listen, when we trust Jesus, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in our lives. He's living in us. If you're trusting Jesus, He's living in you. And if we'll just let Him have His way in us, don't quench Him, don't grieve Him, let him do His work, He begins to produce fruit, but we have to cooperate. Some of the characteristics of that fruit, by the way, are listed in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at that. Look at what He can produce in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and this is what He does through us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You see it, don't you? Self-control. Self-control. The Holy Spirit produces self-control, self-discipline. Against such, there's no law. So the last thing on that list is self-control. That implies that as Christians, God wants to enable us to control ourselves. Now that includes a lot of stuff. It includes controlling emotions that can get out of control. It includes controlling our desires, which can get out of control. It includes controlling our tendency to be lazy, which can really get out of control. If He's not producing that self-control in us now, guys, we will not grow stronger in Christ. That's just the bottom line. Well, how does that happen? Do I just kind of sit back in my recliner and wait until the Holy Spirit drives me to be self-controlled or somehow, you know, He energizes me? Just all up to Him? No. He commands us to be self-controlled. And then He enables us to obey that command. You see the blend here? It's in all the Christian life. He commands us to do things. We choose to obey His commands, but we realize all the time, we can't do it on our own. But He says, you don't have to do it on your own. God says, I will live inside you. I will energize you. I will empower you. I will enable you to be self-controlled. That's how it works. In the letter we call 1 Corinthians, Paul told them, it's kind of like being an athlete. They were pretty familiar with athletes. So are we, right? He wrote this: every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Do you hear what he's saying? It's a great metaphor. We all know that if you're going to be a competitive athlete, if you're going to do any good, whatever your sport might be, you're going to have to exercise a lot of self-control, right? You can't get in shape and you can't stay in shape without self-control. You can't develop athletic skills and maintain those skills without self-control, self-discipline. If you've ever tried to play football or basketball or maybe soccer or volleyball or gymnastics or any other athletic endeavor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly. It may not be pleasant all the time, but you know it's required. And Paul says our life in Christ is the same thing, same way. The only difference is, he says, that an athlete's reward is in this world. It's perishable. It's temporary. It doesn't last. It's going to go away. But the Christian's reward, it's imperishable. It's eternal. Isn't that motivating? It should be. Think about it. So if we're going to grow in Christ, we're going to have to be committed to self-control and self-discipline. Now, having said that, let me just mention a few other practical things that we all need to be doing, okay? For one thing, this is extremely important. We need to have a church home. We need to find a church where they take the Bible very seriously. I don't mean it's kind of a little book that they go to now and then to teach some psychology or something. They know it's God's Word. They don't try to water it down. They don't try to explain it away. That's their source of authority. They don't try to figure out ways to compromise with the sinful culture around us. And in our day, it's very common for churches to try to figure out how to compromise. But a godly church, a biblical church, will not compromise, for example, with the sexual revolution that's been going on in the past few decades, I guess, or with this culture of greed all around us, or with the culture of death, as in abortion and euthanasia. A church needs to be willing to stand firm on issues like this because it's biblical truth. It's got nothing to do with politics. It's got to do with God's truth revealed in God's Word. Make sure you find a church that stands firm. When you do find a church like that, you need to attend it regularly. And you need to tell them you're trusting Christ. Your goal is to grow stronger in Christ. We all need to be engaging in worship with other believers. You can do that at a good church. God's built us so that when we truly worship Him, and guys, you need to learn how to worship Him. I'm telling you, learn how to sing. Sing the best you can. You say, well, I can't carry a tune. Just sing to the Lord. Don't worry about whether you can carry a tune. I'll never forget hearing Billy Graham sing, or hearing somebody talk about Billy Graham singing. He said he could not carry a tune, but he sang to the Lord anyway. God lifts us up when we worship Him, and He gives us a perspective on Him, God Himself. He gives us a perspective on ourselves and the world we're living in. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to worship. Without that frequent worship, guys, we will lose the right perspective. I promise we will. Our brains are too small. We need regular, genuine worship. It's very important for God's kids. Don't neglect it. We also need to hear God's Word being preached. A godly pastor is going to spend a lot of time digging into God's Word. He's going to study God's Word. He's going to prepare messages that are designed to help keep us growing stronger in Christ. We need to hear those messages. We need to understand those messages. We need to apply those messages to our life. You need to be listening to good sermons being preached by your pastor. We also need to be in a small group of Christians who are studying the Bible together and who are praying together. You'll find probably that most of your spiritual growth will take place in fellowship with other Christians. There are several reasons for that. It turns out that God gives us different spiritual gifts for one thing. You'll need to study that at some point in time. None of us has all the gifts of the Spirit. And so we need each other. We need those other gifts. The Bible says we need each other in the church just like different parts of our bodies need each other. He compares us to parts of a body. He said, we need each other. We need each other's encouragement. There are times when I desperately need encouragement, and so do you. We need other members of the body of Christ, other Christians. We need each other's prayers. We need to let each other know what our struggles are, where we need prayer support. We need others to hold us accountable, so that when we are tempted to go wrong, they'll ask us questions. You know, we need that. We need others to teach us. We need each other to help us see our blind spots. I've got blind spots, and so have you. We need close friends in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help us see that stuff. And I'm going to go one step further with this. I would urge you to pray for two, maybe even more, but at least two very special and important people in your life to encourage your spiritual growth. One of those persons should be someone who is roughly your own age and roughly where you are spiritually. You're pretty much together. And so as the two of you grow in the Lord, you can share what you're learning and share what you're experiencing and talk about the questions you have and talk about those things together. You can help each other maintain self-discipline by holding each other accountable. Now, there's nothing wrong with having two or three people like that in your life or even more, but you need at least one very committed Christian friend, Christian brother, if you're a guy, Christian sister, if you're a girl. You also need one other person in your life. You need what we call a spiritual mentor. Now I'm talking about someone who's probably older than you are, who's been a Christian for a long time maybe. Maybe he's experienced some real spiritual growth, has been through some trials, or been through some difficult, fiery trials and difficult times. Could be a Sunday school teacher. Could be a Christian teacher in a public school or a private school. Could be a relative of yours. The idea is to have someone who's studied the Bible a lot more than you have, who's prayed a lot, who's grown to be a lot more like Jesus. Someone that maybe you could meet with occasionally, not every day for sure, but just occasionally, you know, you've got this person in your life and you can call them up, maybe visit them in person, or maybe just talk with them on the phone. And they can help you evaluate how you're doing in your Christian growth. They can help you find answers to questions and things like that. We all need these kind of people in our lives, guys. Take me seriously. Pray for them. Paul mentored Timothy. Remember that? And Titus. And many others, actually, but Timothy and Titus come to our mind because he wrote letters to them that are in the Bible. John mentored a couple of guys named Polycarp and Ignatius, who turned out to be very powerful men of God in the early church and maybe in this on into the second century. And of course, John mentored many others. But this is God's way for us to grow in Christ. When Paul wrote Timothy, whom Paul was mentoring, he said this, I love this verse, he said, "And what you've heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Do you hear how that works? Paul saying, Timothy, I have mentored you, yes, and some others too, but mentored you specifically. Now I want you, Timothy, to mentor some other men. And by the way, later on, they're going to mentor some others as well. And guys, listen, if you take these things seriously that I'm trying to share with you in this video today, someday God will probably give you the opportunity to be a mentor to someone younger than you in the Lord. And that's going to be so exciting. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's very, very, very powerful. It's one of the ways God brings joy into our lives. But I urge you, please take me seriously. Pray very, very seriously for these two people. Before you know who they are, pray that God would reveal them to you. Who is it supposed to be, Lord? Who do you want me to ask? Who do you want me to talk to? Ask God to help you find this strong Christian friend and strong Christian mentor. And then once you found them, pray for them regularly that God would use them in your own life and in other people's lives as well. Another key to your spiritual growth is to learn how to study the Bible for yourself, though. I mean, it's good to have a mentor and it's good to have a preacher and it's good to have a teacher, but you need to start learning how to do Bible study on your own. Now, if you haven't done much Bible study, I would suggest you start with the Gospel of John. It's always a great starting place. Even if you have, if it's been a long time since you've been to the Gospel of John, get back into it. It's just a powerful gospel. Of course, you can start just by reading it, you know, just a few verses at a time maybe. And as you read, don't forget, God's with you. He's right there with you. Ask Him, Lord, help me understand what I'm reading here. I don't get this. Or is there something here I'm missing? Show me your truth. Help me to get it. Talk to God about it. And then underline maybe or circle key words that stand out in your mind as you read. And maybe you'll want to copy some of those verses on note cards and work at committing them to memory. Yeah, remember? Self-discipline? Memorize this stuff. Memorize as much of God's Word as you can. You might want to mark some verses that later on you'll want to talk with your friend or your mentor about, especially things that seem puzzling, you know. It's put a question mark out there in the margin or something, or where you can remind yourself, hey, I want to talk to somebody about this. There are also some incredible tools available for Bible study in the day we live in. It's amazing to me. There are tools out there available right now that I use that I just never would have even dreamed could be possible when I was younger in the Lord. I'm tempted to chase a rabbit here, but I mean, just as one little example, there are tools that find lots of cross-references that go with the verse you're looking at. And it's awesome. They're just right there in front of you. And I can remember there was a book when I was younger called Treasure of Scripture Knowledge, 500,000 cross references. I think there were more like 600,000 actually. But man, it was tedious work. You'd have to look up the verse, compare it with the King James Version, copy the verse down, then go look up the verse in the Bible and copy the verse down. It took a lot of time. I had pages and pages of that. That was a powerful way to study the Bible, to find these cross references. Well, now it's just all right there for you. There's a free app for your mobile phone called Blue Letter Bible. Have you got it? Have you heard of it? I know there are a lot of them, but I highly recommend the Blue Letter Bible. I use it a lot. You may be aware that the Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek, Old Testament in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek. You're aware of that. And of course, it has to be translated into English so we can read it. Well, through the years, there have been several really excellent translations of the Bible produced so that we can read it in English. And the Blue Letter Bible lets you compare several of those translations for any given verse. You just check the verse, go look at it, and you see how it's translated in all those different translations. It will really help you understand the verse a lot more clearly. It really will. The Blue Letter Bible also makes it easy to see what those Hebrew and Greek words were originally that are translated into our English words. I mean, you can find those words yourself very easily just by clicking. And it shows you other verses where those Greek and Hebrew words are used so you can begin to learn how that word was used in other places in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Kind of makes you into an instant little Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar. Well, not really. But it is still amazing. It's amazing what you can do with this thing. It also makes it easy to find other verses that deal with the same subject your verse is dealing with, the cross references I was talking about earlier. Also makes it easy to see what other men who love God and men who love the Bible have had to say about that verse as they thought about it and prayed about it, and they've said some things about it. And you can read what they've said. Also makes it easy to study about certain people. You know, as you read in the Bible, you may come across a person's name or a place or some subject, and you come and you think, I'd like to know more about that. Well, you can click and learn more about it. It's amazing. You can bookmark verses if you want to. You can highlight verses. You can copy verses to the clipboard. You can share verses using a text or an email or maybe on your favorite social app if you want to share verses. It has a lot of different features. More than that, it's going to really help you learn how to study the Bible for yourself. It's a very valuable tool. I would just strongly urge you, download it to your phone. Begin to explore. See what it can do. If you have questions about it, text me or call me. Because if you're going to become a stronger Christian, you're going to have to spend time studying God's Word. There is no substitute for that, guys. I mean, it's good to listen to good preaching. I listen to good preaching. I listen to good Bible teaching. I love it, and it's important, but it doesn't substitute for me digging into God's Word with God, just with God talking about His Word and reading and studying His Word and looking these things up. You've got to learn how to do that. So it's important to remember that God is always with you when you're doing your Bible study. That should be fairly easy to remember. Hey, God, you're with me now. I thank you, and I want to talk to you about this, but listen. Take that a step further. God's going to be with you wherever you are and whatever you're doing and whoever you're with and whatever you're talking about. We tend to forget Him because we don't apprehend Him with our physical senses. But I want to remind you, God's with you now. He's with us now. And He wants us to talk with Him as we live through our days. Don't just ignore Him. It's good to stop many times throughout the day just to spend a little time just talking with God. We need to be thanking Him for the blessings He keeps sending our way. All the way through the day, all these blessings, don't take them for granted. Say, Lord, thank you. You blessed me again. Oh, this is awesome. Thank you, Lord. And then as we go along, okay, Lord, I need some wisdom. Please help me to say this the right way. You know, right now I can say, Lord, please help me as I'm talking to these kids on this video to say this in a way that they can hear and understand and they can get it and help them to implement this and put it into their lives. See, He's listening to me. He's there with you. He's listening to your thoughts. So through the day, you're going to need wisdom to make decisions. Ask Him for wisdom. He wants to guide you through your day. He wants to direct you. Ask Him for that. Lord, direct me through this day. Guide me. Lead me. Be in charge of me. I want to listen to you. I want to walk with you. Let me tell you something else. It's really good to spend time talking with God when you're with other people too. And by the way, it's good to pray silently. There are times when you need to pray silently. But when you're alone especially, pray out loud. It'll focus you. I pray out loud all the time. It'll focus you. And by the way, when you're with other believers, pray out loud from time to time. I mean, you ask for permission. You might say something like, do you mind if I just offer a prayer of thanksgiving for this food before we eat? Or would it be okay if I just led us in prayer for some wisdom as we're trying to make decisions about this project? Or maybe so you're talking to somebody and it's not unusual for them to express concern about a problem somebody is having, or maybe they're sick or something or dealing with an issue. You could just say, hey, would it be okay if we just stopped right here and let me offer up a brief prayer for her right now? It's powerful, guys. Pray with other people. God's there. He's not gone away. He's not going to wait till you get by yourself till you can talk to him. You can talk to him with them too. And because our memories are so weak, you'll probably find it very useful to make some prayer lists. You can pray through them both when you're with others and when you're alone with God. You can pray through those prayer lists. It'd be very valuable. I'd encourage you to make prayer lists. One good thing to pray for, and another thing that's important in your spiritual growth, is for God to give you some kind of Christian project to do. Maybe a mission activity of some kind or a ministry activity for you to get involved in. You know, if you're good at music, it might be a music ministry of some kind. Maybe singing for your small group or even for your church from time to time. Might be a nursing home ministry. My wife and I have been involved in nursing home ministry for many years. Maybe a child care ministry. Maybe a crisis pregnancy center ministry. Maybe a rescue mission. Prison ministry. I've got a dear friend who's involved in prison ministry. And there are many, many other kinds of special mission activities and mission work you could get involved in. You could support them financially if you have a little bit of money you could send them, or with your time and energy. You know, it's good stuff. You could also have a study project on your own where you seek to learn as much as you can about a certain Bible book or a certain Bible subject. You know, that you might ask God to give you put something on your heart, put something on your mind that He wants you to study. For example, maybe I can prime the pump here a little bit. At some time in your life, early on, you should want to learn as much as you can about spiritual gifts. God tells us very clearly, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things, and yet the church is, a lot of people in the church are ignorant about them. And maybe do a study on spiritual warfare, very important to learn how to fight the enemy the way God wants us to. He's given us weapons, He's given us armor, we need to know how to use those things. Maybe about learning how to deal with the fiery trials of life. And guys, it just so happens, you won't be surprised, I posted several studies for these very topics and a whole lot of others at AboundingJoy.com. You might want to check those out. I think you'll find some helpful things that will help you with all those things. And mentioning AboundingJoy.com reminds me that we live in a day when there are a large number of Bible messages and Bible studies available online, both as audio, like podcast files. You know, I podcast the studies. I think this will be on a podcast as well, and video files on YouTube. There's a lot of junk out there and a lot of trash out there, filth out there, but there's some godly stuff out there too, at least for now. We can pray that God will let that continue. So you can find a lot of my studies at AboundingJoy.com or on my YouTube pages. All these posts, if you know, there's more than we can possibly listen to, but we can listen to some of them and find things that we know we need to hear. It can help us grow stronger in the Lord, guys. Take advantage of these things. I'd also like to urge you to look for opportunities to talk with others about what God's doing in your life. And you might say, well, you've already talked about small groups. Yeah. And you talked about my mentor and my friend. Yeah, that's important. And those are important people to talk with. But broaden that. You know, we need to talk with others about what God's doing in our life just as we run into them. Some of them will be Christians, some of them will be non-Christians. When you talk with Christians about what God's doing in your life, it can be really encouraging to them. I mean, it's so encouraging to me when a fellow Christian comes up, may not even know I'm a Christian until we start talking, and then they start talking about what God's doing in their life, and it just gets me all excited. I love it. It also gives other Christians an opportunity to pray for you. You know, we need all the prayer support we can get, right? Yeah. It also might cause them to consider a similar kind of work or ministry as you begin to talk about what God's doing in your life. Maybe. Who knows? And then when you talk with non-Christians, that could be something God will use to plant an idea in their head that may just lead eventually to their trusting Jesus for themselves. That's exciting, isn't it? To think that God could use you to help somebody else find Christ? Oh, yeah. Now, having said that, let me give you a heads up here, because there'll be some people, and sadly, some people who even call themselves Christian, who may find your conversation about God to be a little irritating. And sometimes this is simply because they're not living their lives the way God wants them to live their lives, and they know it. And you start talking about God, and that brings that consciousness of God back into their hearts, and that may bring some conviction, and they may fight that a little bit, you know, inside. They may struggle with it, and so they may get irritated at you. You may be a source of conviction to them. The Holy Spirit may be using you. That's a good thing. You realize that? Even though it may be a little uncomfortable for you at the time sometimes. Because obviously if it leads to their making a decision to obey Christ, that's really good. But even if it leads to their being ugly to you, maybe with some ridicule or sarcasm or something like that put down, still a good thing, guys. It really is. Because if you respond to that ridicule or that sarcasm in a loving way, you see, when you get some ridicule or sarcasm, God's giving you an opportunity to be Christ-like in a difficult situation. And that speaks volumes to people. And God may use that later on to help them get their lives where He wants them to be. So don't be afraid to talk about what God's doing in your life. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the Bible with other people. Let me add one more important thing that I think it's important to keep in mind as a relatively new Christian. It's very important. Becoming a Christian does not mean we're no longer tempted to sin. We're all going to have to struggle against temptation until we draw that last breath, guys. It's just part of this life. Now, it does mean that now, right now, when we've trusted Christ, we have Him living inside us to enable us to resist and overcome temptation. We couldn't do that without Christ. Lost people were slaves to sin. The Bible teaches that very clearly, but we can overcome it. But our flesh is weak. We all know that. And the devil is slick. He's crafty. And the world around us can just sometimes overwhelm us with all kinds of temptations. So while it really is important to know that we can say no to temptation by the power of God in me, and we hate sin as Christians. And by the way, that's one of the reasons I urge you to study what God teaches about spiritual warfare. We need to learn how to fight the enemy. But it's also important to remember that sometimes we fall. Sometimes we fail God. Sometimes we sin and we hate it. But we do it. We're all guilty. So Satan would love to get you out of the battle just because you've sinned. Don't let him do that. Don't let him win that victory. Yes, you're going to sin, but that didn't put you out of the battle at all. And because of this particular factor in your life, the fact that you're going to continue to struggle with sin and fall into it, I want to urge you right now, as soon as you're through this, memorize right away 1 John 1:9. If you've not memorized it, memorize it. Here it is. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is an awesome verse. So encouraging. Because as much as we hate sin, we're weak and we will inevitably commit sin. But He promises that because of Jesus, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's just to forgive us because Jesus took the penalty for that sin on the cross. So He forgives us. Every time, guys. Every time. I don't care how many times you fail, every time. Not only that, He didn't put a period there. Look at the rest of that verse. He will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Do you hear that? You know what that means? That means if we forget to confess a sin, you know, you don't have to say, ooh, I think I committed a sin, but I don't remember what it was. God will remind you of all the ones He wants you to confess specifically. Don't worry, He's very good at that. But He forgives the stuff you forget. He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Do you hear that? All unrighteousness. What an awesome Father we've got, guys. Yeah, memorize that verse and use it often. Let me give you one more word of warning. These things I'm talking about are some of the most important things that you'll ever make decisions about, guys. I promise it. And when you're older, you're going to look back on what you decided. And you're either going to look back with joy at how God's led you to grow stronger in Christ, which I hope and pray happens because of this partly. Or you'll look back with great regret that you neglected all this stuff. And one of the things that can make it difficult for us is the fact that none of these things seem terribly urgent to us. Now listen carefully. I know they're important, and you know they're important. I don't think any of you who are trusting Christ would say, oh, that stuff's not important. You know it's important. But it's very easy to say, well, yeah, I really do need to get some of these things done. I need to start growing in Christ. And one of these days, I need to get this, I need to get started on this. I can see how important this is. But meanwhile, you've got all this other stuff in your life. You have many, many responsibilities in life, and it all seems so urgent. If you're a student, you may have assignments, and they got to be done, and you're behind, and you got to catch up. So you got to do it right away. You can't wait. The semester is running out. The quarter is running down. You only have a certain amount of time. Or maybe you got a test tomorrow, and you got to study for it, and you can't put that off. It's got to be done today. You've probably got some urgent chores that have to be done at home. The laundry, you know, when you look at it, well, that's not really important in the larger scheme of things, but it is important. It's got to be done, right? And it's kind of urgent. I can't wait too long or I'll be wearing smelly clothes. It's the same with meal preparation. It's the same with washing dishes. It's the same with collecting the trash in the house. It's the same with cleaning up your room. On and on you go. You got chores. They all have to be done, and they're kind of urgent. If you have a job, you know there are things that you have to do, and you have to do them right away. It can't be postponed. Life is filled with little things and big things that are urgent. They cannot be postponed. They have a deadline. They have to be done. Now listen, this is so important, guys. It can keep you from growing spiritually if you don't get this. The urgent things tend to keep pushing back the important things, pushing them on back. Pushing them on back. Yes, it's important to learn how to study the Bible. But it doesn't have to be done today, does it? See what I'm saying? And so many other things do have to be done today. They may not be as important, but they've got to be done, and they're urgent. So listen carefully. If you find yourself constantly dealing with the urgent things of life and feeling overwhelmed with all that stuff, and almost never getting around to the really important things that will lead you to serious spiritual growth. Listen, guys, take me seriously. You need to do some heavy duty praying and planning and confessing and asking God for some wisdom and direction to fix that problem. It is a huge problem, and it can almost go unrecognized because those urgent things just kind of gradually pile up and pile up and pile up, and the next thing you know, the important things are not being done. Here's one big key for many of us. For many of us, it means being disciplined enough to go to bed earlier every evening so I can get up earlier every morning and start my day with some time with the Lord. That can be a great solution for most of us. Okay, there are many more things I'm sure I could talk about that might help you grow stronger in Christ. And knowing me, most likely when I get this posted and uploaded, I'll probably think of things I wish I'd covered. I'll think, oh man, I wish I'd talked about this. But your mentor can help you fill in the gaps, right? Find one, find a mentor. And just remember, guys, spiritual growth is a lifelong project. It's not going to stop in this life. High school is not a lifelong project. You know, you got a graduation date out there on the horizon somewhere. You're going to graduate. You're going to get a diploma. College is the same way. You're going to finally graduate and get your diploma. You'll be through with that. But your graduation and diploma for spiritual growth comes after you draw your last breath in this world. But guys, please remember, it's real. That last breath is certainly on the way. It's coming. Every one of us is going to take it. And way too many people look back over their lives before they take that last breath with great regrets about their walk with the Lord. But it doesn't have to be that way, guys. It doesn't have to be that way. You just need to make a decision right now that by God's grace, you're going to grow strong in Him. Stay in the battle. Father, whoever's watching this video, whoever's listening to the podcast, I know that they probably agree with most of what I've said. They probably agree that these things are critically important, that they need to grow stronger in Jesus. We all do, Lord. But Lord, we know we have an enemy who's going to do everything he can to keep that from happening. So I'm praying for the people watching this video that you'd help them not be overcome with Satan's tactics, not be overcome with the tyranny of the urgent, not be overcome with all the junk that gets in the way, not be overcome with the temptation just to put this off and get to it someday. Lord, I pray that the people watching this video and listening to this podcast, that they will not look back one of these days with great regrets, that they could have gotten more serious about growing stronger in Jesus and just didn't. So help them, Lord. Help them to make some commitments and decisions right now. And I pray that you'd be raising up a lot of strong followers of Jesus who will be committed to spiritual warfare, who will figure out what their spiritual gifts are, who will stand firm in the midst of this turmoil we're facing in our nation right now, that you can use to bring yourself a lot of glory. So please, Lord, help us to take these things seriously and to become more and more like Jesus until we draw that last breath. We pray in His name. Amen.